5 coming up off the high school schedule across the state. And so let me see if I got these numbers right. This will be week number 3 coming up for college football.
I
week number 2 for the NFL.
All I know was, the Titans went to Miami. They played the worst long ball game I guess I've ever seen.
Well, that they did.
It just wasn't much to do.
Tell me, big night tomorrow night, Battle of the Woods. Do we want to start doing anything before Coach Daniel gets here?
No, we're going to play the Ravenwood Brentwood stuff when we get going.
Okay,
we got enough stuff. We can work it in when they get
here. We got a lot of stuff. Let's look at the AP poll from this past week that came out. I'm working off of my cell phone here, which, as you know, takes me a while to do. But having said that,
I'm impressed you actually got it pulled up.
I did get it pulled up, yeah. Just the top 5 real quick. Really not a lot of change. Alabama, Clemson, Georgia, Ohio State, and Oklahoma in that order. 5 really good football teams. Dabo had to work a little bit last week.
I don't know
if you saw that.
I watched it.
Very much.
Our good friend Tyrell Dotson, number 25, former Centennial Cougar, played like a wild man, but unfortunately Tyrell can't cover the whole field.
No, he can't, but I give credit where it's due. Jimbo really developed that young quarterback. Mound was his last name?
Kelly Mound.
Excellent game.
You know, he started out as a freshman a couple of years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot of talent, but just was scattered. You could see how uneasy he was. But other than that, he played a great deal of poise. And Dabo and his crew, his Clemson crew, they just kept coming and kept coming.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, he's got to strap up that defense a little bit. But he's got a good quarterback situation with a freshman in there. But I think Kelly Bryant's going to be the ultimate go-to pressure quarterback.
Well, I'll tell you one team that really did it well the other night. It was... That's right. That was the Mississippi State Bulldogs. Thank you, Bubba. They got sound effects working.
Stormy, if people hear us talk about Bubba, a lot of people don't know how we know Bubba so well. Bubba was the voice, or the PA, I should say, PA guy for Ravenwood High School for 15 years. And that begins when they started a varsity football program, I think. Is that right, Bubba? And he did it well for 15 years. And then he went to Nolensville for 2 years when they opened the school over there. But a great addition over there. He did a great job. But it's a big loss when he left. But Bubba, glad to have you with us tonight, and it's always good to see you.
And if you're a Raptors fan, you'd always hear, and there's another Ravenwood. And they would yell, thank you, very good, first down. And, of course, then again, if you sat in the booth next to him, he would do this. Much to my chagrin.
I have no idea what that sounds like on the radio. But
I don't know. Keelan, you have to tell me what that sounds like. But all I know is by the end of the night, we all had migraines. But thank you anyway, Bubba.
Absolutely, Bubba. Stormy, we want to pass this along, too. A lot of MTSU fans maybe had planned to go down between the hedges Saturday, or maybe not, for obvious reasons. But that game has been changed. It was due to start at 6:15. That's going to be 11 o'clock kickoff Central Time because of the impending hurricane situation down in Athens. So
we're not going to play tomorrow.
Well, yeah, I know for sure. Alabama's still rolling, Stormy. They've got Ole Miss. I tell you what, Ole Miss has got some offense. Hang on, Bubba.
Oh, he just
but
a Mississippi State fan over. Don't get sick.
He took the words right out of my mouth. They can't stop anybody. So does Alabama win that game 65-50 or something like that?
Alabama's defense will stop Ole Miss. They'll stop.
So
it'll be. I tell you what, it'll be fun to watch because Alabama Tua will be a quarterback. Jalen Hurts still could throw it in the ocean from the beach. God love him. He's a great athlete. He's a fine young man, but he's not much of a quarterback other than the fact he can run real well.
Well, to be honest with you, I think he's an afterthought at this point.
He's not multifaceted.
Yeah.
Tua is multifaceted. But Alabama will roll over the hottie-totty Ole Miss rep.
Ohio State Storm is still without Urban Meyer. They've got a little bit of a test Saturday. They're going to take on TCU down at Jimmy Jones Stadium.
I would love to see the Horned Frog sending them back to Columbus with the tail tucked between their legs.
That would be very sweet. I'm a Gary Patterson man, you know that, but I don't think it's going to happen. But it'll be an interesting football game, I think.
Should be fun.
They're 13-point favorites, by the way, over the Horned Frogs.
Not surprised.
6-10, Wisconsin, Auburn, Notre Dame, Stanford, Washington, Stormy. No doubt that the highlighted game in the SEC Saturday has to be LSU at Auburn.
You know, I studied that, and LSU's got that Burroughs kid at quarterback transferred from the Ohio State University.
Right. Right.
He saw the impending disasters coming. He, very wise young man, came to the South, where that's where the glory comes out. So he's smart to come South. Bottom line is, he played really well overnight. He gave a balance in the passing game for LSU that we haven't seen since, what's the kid named, Burt Jones in 76? Mm-hmm. I'm exaggerating, but I'm serious. When's the last time LSU had a balanced quarterback like that?
Well, that's a good
game. I mean, you go back decades, I think.
Well, I'll say this. If the Burrow kid can perform and be and contribute toward LSU beating Auburn on the Plains, then we can say LSU finally has him a quarterback.
Well, but Coach Malzahn's going to have a lot to say about that.
I got
a feeling Mr. Stidham at quarterback for the Auburn Tigers, they're going to be fine. So one thing you'll be hearing over and over again, it will not be the Cowbells, Mississippi State. It'll be War Eagle.
Well, you may be right. 10-point favorite, and they're hard to beat, as we all know, on the Plains. Mississippi State, a breather, 32 over Louisiana Lafayette, no problem.
Double green to pick.
Oh, goodness. They've got a new head coach down there, and he looks pretty good, Stormy. We're going to see what happens with that.
Where did he come from?
He came from Penn State.
That's right.
James Franklin's staff.
There you go.
And by the way, David Williams finally announces his resignation.
Hallelujah. One more time. I tell you what, we've got great, great backup sound effects here today.
We are out of control here already.
No, we're not yet. I shouldn't have had that extra glass of sweet tea.
That's right. Well, we should remind everybody, not only can you get that sweet tea here at Stroudscombe, you can feed four people for $15.99. The side items just melt in your mouth. Macaroni and cheese. I always get the baked beans. And the baked beans are much better now than they've ever been here at Stroudscombe. Not that they weren't.
I love the slaw. I love the potato salad.
Yep.
And we promised Coach Daniels, who's when he gets here, we're going to interview him first, because he and his wife are going to have another glorious expectation in within 3 weeks, and he has to go to labor delivery class, the announcer tried to say, and we're going to send him down there with something for his bride and some extra banana pudding.
Well, you know what they say, if mama ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Well, that banana pudding will make her smile, I can assure you, like Chicago would say, make me smile.
That's exactly right. Stormy, you had do we want to touch up on your extended pay period last Friday night over in Ravenwood at all? Do we want to save that for Coach Daniels?
Well, you know, no, we're fine. All I can say was we had a great time at Ravenwood. Paige came in and played real well until they ran out of mojo and gas. I think the hour and a half delay took a lot of starch out of their sails. I know we've got two Raptors just walked in.
Mm-hmm.
I know number 8 just walked in. Get on his phone back there. We'll get him off. AC got him off his phone. But I think Ravenwood played real well. They did what they had to do to win. Come on, gentlemen, have a seat here. But the hour and a half delay took the starch out of my sails. All I know was I never had trouble talking, but we had to fill an hour and a half.
It is. But you had a lot of filler material with Garth and Tommy Little and a lot of good folks over there.
With Marcus Stone. Terry, would you hand the microphone?
I'd be more than happy to. Who do we have here, sir?
Let these gentlemen introduce themselves while we talk over our side.
Well, let's just set the stage here. Four players are coming from Ravenwood. Of course, Battle of the Woods tomorrow night. And since we don't know who they are, we're just going to say, how you doing? And welcome to the show. I assume you're one of the four on our list.
Yes, sir. I'm William Bain. I play running back.
And he's injured. And he's out for another week. He will not be playing tomorrow night.
And who do we have here?
Luke Schaus, DM.
And we watched Mr. Schaus play the other night. Did a nice job. Tell us. Well, first of all, if you get here first, that means you get to get on and get off and eat first. So they like that. So we're going to feed you. You go up there, be sure to tell them with us. You'll enjoy some great Stroud barbecue. You can have extra banana pudding tonight, so it's fine with us. We don't care what the coach says. If he's listening, I'll answer him later. Give me your thoughts on the ball game last Friday night in the rain delay that you had to put up with, the weather delay. How tough was that?
I think the team handled it pretty well. Stayed pretty loose, got a little bit of coaching, and came back out on the field good. Didn't really affect us too much. Like, when we came back out, I think we picked right back up, at least defensively, where we left off. And I think as young as we are, like, with the people on the field, I think we handled it pretty well.
How hard is it? It's tough for mentally to getting refocused, getting reback. In the ball. I mean, it was for us, but we were climbing around, all of a sudden we had to snap back. How hard was it physically stretching back out, getting ready to rock and roll?
That's a little bit tougher, because you're definitely pretty tight whenever you get back out there. Just going through those stretching lines, like, I can feel it. It's definitely a lot tougher to be able to, like, do some high knees or anything once you get back out there.
Well, you're old age of, what, 17 now?
Yes, sir.
Oh, bless your heart. Wait till you're 65. We'll see. You'll get well, cards. God love Mr. Blaine, hold the grab the phone. Tell me, now, how, can you discuss your injury, or is that something that...
I'll say the area. So I have a leg injury. I heard it in the Oakland jamboree.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, I watched you in the BA game, and you played really hard in the scrimmage. Very impressive. I know you're itching to get back. What's the toughest part about not being on the field?
I mean, my senior year, I wanted to be out there with my teammates. Trying to make a run for state. You know, it's really hard, but I'm just making the most of it, and you know, hope to get back out there in 2 weeks for homecoming. So.
Sounds good. What about how are you going through the preparation with your other teammates? If you're not going to play, how much preparation do you still get to take?
So I'm still practice every day in the meeting. Still, you know, working with the installs. You know, making sure I know what I'm supposed to do, my progressions and everything. You know, I'm still working out. Still having to just going through the motions right now. Hoping to get back out there.
Sounds good. Pass it back, Luke. We'll get these other two gentlemen here. We'll come back this way. Here you go. Tell me about your thoughts. You're a senior, did I look at that correctly? Junior. Oh, so you're just cruising. Wait a minute. You're a junior and you're 6'6". Got you down. What? Is that 250?
Yes, sir.
Terry, that's just not fair. He's a foot taller than me. 100 pounds. Well, not 100, maybe 80 pounds. I know. I can hear you. Tell me about your thoughts. You got any aspirations playing after this?
Yes, sir. I mean, I hope to go play D1 football somewhere. I have one off from Cincinnati right now.
Bearcat? Okay.
Yes, sir. And then some other schools looking. But, I mean, as long as I go out there and play football right on Friday night, I think things will happen.
Things will take care of themselves.
Sir.
Did you get to play, if you're a junior, tell me the transition between Coach Hester. Did you have him as a coach?
No, sir.
You didn't? Okay. So tell us, I know Coach Daniel will be in a minute. If he's listening, we won't count it against you. Tell me your thoughts on having him as a coach.
I mean, I think I was here my freshman year. Westman was the head coach, and the transition from Westman to Daniels was...
Yeah, how different was that? And we only have an hour to have a show.
Yes, sir. I mean, you can tell just from the culture and how everybody buys into the team. It's definitely a lot different. When Westman was around, it just didn't seem like everybody wanted to go out and really play on Friday night. But with Daniels, you know, kids have been joining a team that doing really well in other sports, and they want to come out and play. And you can just tell in the locker room and the team chemistry and everything, it's definitely changed quite a bit.
He teaches AP Psych. Do you have to take any of his classes?
I have him in one class, and it's sports entertainment marketing.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So you get away from him as much as possible.
Yes, sir.
Sounds good. Terry, I'm going to get you the mic back, let you get you asked questions. You've got other two gentlemen down there.
Yeah, show me. We've got Drake Anthony. He's a senior linebacker. Also, Reagan Carlson, who is a senior offensive defensive lineman. And everybody's here, I guess, is a senior except for Luke.
This little tiny junior over here.
So I was going to say a while ago.
I'm not going to stand up next to him.
I don't want to be an offensive line on the other side of the scrimmage with him crashing over the
side. Oh, gosh. I was thinking, how do you block him? You get three other friends and get behind him.
So I'm going to talk to Drake Anthony. Drake, how you doing? Welcome in.
I'm good.
Good. Well, that's great. That's great. Everybody's good here, right? We established that. You all ranked number 4 in the state in this week's AP poll. Does that add more pressure to you as you go through the season, or give you a more sense of urgency? How do you approach each day?
It doesn't really pressure us. I feel like it's just a very different feel from last year. As last year, we were always the underdogs. But this year, being the favorites every game, it gets us excited to go out and just continue to prove everyone right about what they think about us. And it's just exciting every week. I mean, the atmosphere in school is great. It's always just so fun.
Now, last week, Paige was very much alive middle of third quarter, 14-7, I believe, before you also put it away. But what was the turning point, do you think, in the second half to kind of put it in the bag?
Honestly, it really felt like just as we just kept hitting them on defense, and literally we just wear them out, it feels like. And then once we're wearing out their guys that play both sides, I feel like the offense can just easily take over.
Let me ask a quick question. First game was Centennial, trailing 21-7. We keep getting updates. Did it get to 28-7? I can't remember. Yes, it did. That's what I was thinking. We're going. Is that a misprint? The second game you had, was it Franklin? Yeah, Siegel, then Frank. Yeah, you played Siegel. Okay, Franklin. Is this a traditional slow start bunch? Or, I mean, are the other teams ready for you? Kind of give me your thoughts, and Terry, I'll just pass the mic down with that one.
I mean, like we were saying earlier, we are the favorites in almost every game so far. And because of that, every team wants to give us their best shot. We talk about it every week about how everybody, they want to come out and beat us bad. And so because of that, they come out and bring their best effort. And sometimes we're always ready, but it just sometimes catches people off guard, and we just come out a little slow. And we're hoping every week that we can just come out and bring our best.
Tell me your thoughts. Start with the Centennial game. What did they do? I know they scored on the kickoff and a couple pass long pass plays. What adjustments did y'all make kind of stop them that tide?
On defense, we made a lot of adjustments in terms of we had a lot of things game planned for their team specifically because of how athletic they are, and we kind of cut off a lot of of it and just went back to our basics.
Sounds good. Good.
Drake, you're a senior. What are you going to do after graduation? Do you know yet?
I'm really not sure yet. I'm going to college somewhere.
What would you like studying?
I'm not sure. Maybe business, but I'm undetermined.
It's all right. Got plenty of time. Plenty of time.
All right. Good luck tomorrow night. Thanks for being with us. Don't go away, though.
Thank you.
Yeah, don't leave. We got more.
All right, so we got Reagan Carlson here, offensive defensive lineman. Reagan, are you more offense or defense?
Right now I'm more offense, but I would like to be more defense. But whatever I can do to help the team, I try and do it.
Everybody wants, if they have a choice, they always want to play defense.
They come up with this attitude. They just want to knock you sideways and de-cleat you. I like that, though.
Now, the roster says 6'1", 210. You look bigger than that to me. Is that roster right?
I might have gone up in weight a little bit, but I am 6'1", yes.
Yeah, you're about 220. He's about 220. He's 6'2", 222. That's the Pugaloos, well, it's what it is.
Well, that's more like it. Coaches always sort of shortchange the rosters on the weights, I've noticed, Stormy, over the years, but it is what it is. But
they never put my size down. They just went never mind on that.
Well, no, they didn't want to. Well, they wanted the opponents to think you had a really big powerhouse team. Right?
They saw me and they went, is he the mascot?
Reagan, Battle of the Woods, need we say anymore? I don't guess Coach has to do a lot to get you fired up this during this past week of practice.
No, there's been no need for him to fire us up. We're already fired up enough. Everyone in the locker room are really trying to focus in and get excited for this game because, like you said, it's Battle of the Woods.
So. Yeah, how hard is it to focus on the game plan and take this? These are other than this game, your friends, most of Pat Florida, I crossed the line there. How difficult is that to stay focused on the game plan as opposed to the rivalry?
I've never had this problem because I always just focus on the game, but our team will sometimes get caught up in the emotion of it, and I feel that if we can keep it, we need to keep a level head, you know? So I feel like if we do that, I feel like we can just tune everything else out and play our game of football.
Last year, y'all went in the ball game, as Drake said, as underdog. In the paper, I had to do the pick. I picked Brentwood. I shouldn't say that. I'm in a corner. I can't believe I said that. No, I'm man up to take the beating. I picked Brentwood. The bottom line was y'all came out and really played them, took over on special teams. I can't remember who had the block, but it came up the middle on the block at field goal and took it for a touchdown. Y'all just played so well. You've talked to us before. You came in as underdog last year. How are y'all looking at the favored role? And pass the mark on that one.
I think looking at the favored role, I don't think we really take that into account. I think we just, work on what we're supposed to do, do our jobs correctly, and go out there and play what we love.
What makes the Battle of the Woods the rivalry it is? You all have big rivalries with, Franklin or even Independence, Centennial. What makes this so special?
It's a cross-town school we're playing. Every year, the crowd is electric. It's insane how many people there, and it's a great time, great game, and we love playing them.
Can y'all hear some of the things that are said from the stands, or is it so loud?
There's just so many noises. You can't hear anything.
You can't. Good. Maybe that's best.
You can't even coach on the field.
Maybe that's best, because we hear a lot.
For a game like this, we've talked about these big rivalries before, and I'll let Drake answer this one, but it's probably a challenge not to reach your peak and practice during the week before the game actually gets here, because you're chomping at the bit, you're ready to go, it's a big rivalry, it's a big game in the region and all that stuff. How do you sort of channel your emotions before Friday night?
Honestly, the coaches, they try to turn it into make it sound feel like a practice like any other, because otherwise we're all just going to be thinking about how exciting the game is and how much pressure there is around it and just how excited everybody else is for it. And so the coaches try to keep it like at an understanding that we all understand how big it is and the rivalry behind it, but also understanding just how fun it can be and just how it is just any other game in terms of, we just got to go do our thing and we can take a...
So has practice been relatively the same as you prepare for Siegel, Siegel, Centennial, Franklin, and Page, etc.?
The structure has been the same, but I think the energy everywhere has been a lot better. We've all been so excited and just flying around. It's been awesome.
How's the student body reacting this week?
They're so excited. I know, especially for our senior class, that's all anybody can talk about is, if you're not going to the Battle of the Woods on Friday, then what are you doing?
Who would not show up?
Exactly.
Get some other answers.
Well, now, above all of the smoke and mirrors of excitement and the rivalry and all that, the big thing here is both teams are undefeated in the region. The winner will have sole possession of first place. So I would ask you, Luke, how important is that? And if you look at your schedule, it looks pretty good if y'all can get by tomorrow night in terms of the rest of your regional games.
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a huge game. Last year, winner this went on to win the region. We did. I think it could end up like that again this year. So this game could, I think it's kind of the region championship. You know, it's really big. It's not just the rivalry. It's that first seed in the playoffs and the home field advantage and everything.
Now, you play defensive end, and as we know, Brentwood has a new sophomore quarterback, Granzo. What have you all done to prepare for him? You know they're going to throw the football, and is that maybe the key to the game as far as your defense being able to stop passing game of Brentwood?
The passing game is definitely part of it, but there's some other game plan things we've put in that can help stop the run, and because their running back has been doing pretty well for them, and I actually like what they've shown this year. They actually are more run than pass. So I think we can first stop, I'm not sure what the running back's name is, but we can stop the run first, and then we have some other game plan things in for the pass.
I think it's McKechnie, and there's the Nicholas kid.
Jordan Nicholas, yeah.
Jordan Nicholas, and there's McKechnie, also Chase Bishop. And I was going to ask, y'all don't play cornerback, and no cornerbacks in the group. Whoops, there you go. There went our notes out the window. That's okay.
Tommy, I'll tell you what, now, we've got one junior here amongst these four, and that's, of course, Luke Chaus, as we mentioned. But
he's a tiny one.
He's a tiny one. But if you look at the starting lineup across all 22 starters, I may be a little off on this, but I think it's pretty close. There's only five senior starters on the top 22 starters on this football team. So don't you guys wish you had one more year to come back and be part of that?
Oh, yeah, I wish we could, because these juniors, they're a great group of guys. They love the game. They play hard. And
how do you move the football? Again, what have you noticed in the Brentwood defense that will be able to
move the ball?
Reagan Carlson and Luke Shouse.
We've had Grant
7-6 on Sunday. That's Stroud's Barbecue right
here. Hello, I'm Quinn, that we have carried for many years. We are conveniently located at 401 Cool Springs Boulevard, 1/2 mile west of Interstate 65. You can reach us at 615-778-9791 or visit our website at flagworldamerica.com.
When you need auto repair, you want a shop that offers reliable and affordable services. Buehr Brothers Tune and Tire Service is here to help. Their services include brakes, electrical, computer diagnostics, timing belts, tune-ups, transmission repairs, oil changes, cooling systems, tire service. And they service foreign and domestic. The ASC-certified techs at Buehr Brothers will get the job done right the first time. Buehr Brothers Tune and Tire Service at 112 Alpha Drive, locally owned and operated since 1949.
Good evening, everybody. Stormy Mitchell along with Terry Merrill. We're back at Sal's Barbecue. We've got the Raptors in the house tonight. Terry, we've had a lot of fun so far. We're going to feed those young men. They're bigger, faster, and stronger. If we don't feed them, we're in deep trouble, because they've been smelling this aromatic barbecue, and they're starting to salivate. So it's time. We said, Terry, we've got to feed them.
That's right, Storm. And they've got to eat, because tomorrow's Battle of the Woods, and it doesn't get any better than that. We've heard them all talk about that. Four outstanding young men. Brentwood leads 8-7, but Stormy, Ravenwood has won four of the last five. So, and last year, 31-23, as you remember.
So, is there a trend?
Well, if you want numbers, I can give them to you. The four games before that, Brentwood won. So, it has been cyclical in the last, 10 years or so. But tomorrow's another night. Forget all that stuff, and you go out and play a football game, right?
It's going to be at Ravenwood. Our pregame's at 6:30. Our kickoff at 7 p.m. Murphy's matchups will be at 7 p.m. At 6 p.m. And we're going to have a lot of fun. Young men have placed the orders. We're going to have some fun. But we've got Coach Lyons, our defensive coordinator here. We're going to pick his brain. Coach Daniels couldn't make it. He has, I think, more. He's got, I won't say high priorities, but he's got a wife that's expecting. And as for those that have gone through, watch her wives go through childbirth, that's where he needs to be.
He's giving up a meal at Stroud's Barbecue.
Well,
kidding.
No, we'll get him a meal later. But what scares me, I told him he could take some banana pudding to his wife to the hospital. And if he shows up empty-handed,
well,
there's no terminal condition. He's going to come back.
He's got to deal with that himself. We can't do
that. Yeah, that's on a personal basis.
Yeah. But Stormy, I did forget, and forgive me, but I forgot to get the Guru's upset of the week this week, so we'll just have to slide by.
What was it last week?
Last week he picked Lausanne over
Whitehaven.
Whitehaven, and they won in overtime.
And I told him that wasn't a big, I didn't think that was much of an upset.
I agree. I think Lausanne can play with anybody.
Lausanne had already won the state two years in a row. I said, that's not an upset. Now, the upset was Alcoa beating Merville. Don't shake your head.
Wait, Storm, Stormy.
Sweetie, oh, good.
I thought I was talking to my wife there for a second. Stormy, last week we sat here. What did I tell you when we talked about Alcoa and Maribel?
Blonde hog finds an acre to 10 years.
Okay, I found that blind nut, or that blind nut found that hog, whatever, and Alcoa won the football game. It happens every 6 years, all right? Here we are.
You just, we're gonna tell these young men off air how you...
Squirrel, you're trying to say a blind squirrel can find a nut every
10 years,
right? Yeah, I know. You didn't think I had it called on that one, did you?
Oh, gosh. Let's get the microphone
closer. I guess we better move along so somebody else can talk.
Coach Fowler's going, what did I get myself into? Hand him the mic, please, Terry, or unless you got a question first. Coach Fowler, first of all, thank you for being here at Stroud. Kind of give our listeners, give us a background, kind of where you went, where you grew up, and then we'll go to college, and kind of, and then where you coached before. And
I don't know that I've ever used one of these. Do I have to push a button? Or
No. You just hold it high and
drink it or anything?
No. And it's free of charge. I don't think we'll even feed you for tonight.
Sounds good. I haven't eaten yet today. Background: I'm from Florida originally, and grew up there. Spent my whole childhood life there.
What part?
St. Petersburg.
Okay.
And then I went to Duke. I played football at Duke. And Paul Franks was my head coach for 3.5 years. And then my senior year, he was replaced with Ted Roof as the interim coach. So I got a half year with him.
So you went to Duke. That means you got brains and brawn.
Grades. Not brains necessarily, but...
Well, that did translate.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, some people are resourceful and know how to get good grades, and some people are smart. I got good grades.
You and I get along, guys. Yeah. No brains.
Okay, keep going. I went to Duke. I spent 4 years there and left and was an undrafted free agent for the Cowboys. Played there for 3 years and then signed with the Titans on an unrestricted free agent deal in 2007. Played 2 years for the Titans and then spent my last year with the Jets. Then I left and coached 1 year of college football, Division II, Pace University in New York. And then I decided I was going to try to change direction. So I went back to school and got my master's in business from Duke. I went back to Duke and
good for you.
And then finished that and realized that the thing that I learned from my business program was that I didn't like business. I liked football. And so I came back and started coaching. And I've been doing that and teaching now full-time also ever since.
That's fantastic. Who were you coaches in Dallas?
Bill Parcells.
Wow.
Yeah.
How much did you glean from him?
Everything.
Was that when I was sitting under the master, the guru himself?
It's just basking in the light from the wizard. I mean, he really, you know, at that point in his career, I was with him for his last 3 years of coaching.
Wow.
He had, you know, sort of accumulated so much wisdom and knowledge, of course. But his take on the game was so credible, obviously, because of his background. But it just jived with my understanding of how things were supposed to work. And so I really took to him early and often. And I think that a lot of my style and my approach to the game comes from him.
If you could take one thing, one quote, one or two quotes or something that this he said with great regularity and fervor that stuck out in your mind, what would it be?
There was a couple of them. one was, "What have you done for me lately?" he used to say that you're only as good as your last 3 games because that's what other teams see on film. Anything older than that is archived and history and not important. So if you haven't done something for me in the last 3 games, then you're not really of any value. That was the point of that. He also used to say, and I say this quite often, that he doesn't treat everyone the same, okay? But he treats everyone fairly. And I thought that was an interesting nuance to that particular thing. You know,
I'm waiting on a good explanation. I know where you're going, but I like that.
What he said was, you get treated how you deserve to be treated.
Exactly.
And some people were more deserving of what they would consider fair treatment.
Mm-hmm.
He considered it all fair, but different.
How was it playing against the Whitwood guy? Number 82.
Jason. Yeah. Pretty amazing. You know, I played 3 years with him in the Cowboys and learned a lot trying to cover him and play with him. And we became very close friends and we remained friends to this day. I was at his retirement party a couple months ago, I guess. And just what a great guy, what a great leader, teammate, what a great career player. So it was really neat to like be around that as it was happening and to cheer him on and like be a fan.
What did you take away? He was a professional, was it 14 years, 13, 14, 15? I lost. What would you say was the reason for his success besides his side? I mean, the God-given ability. What was the intangible that the average Joe like me would say, what about him?
Jason's probably the most competitive person I've ever been around. He would argue with me on that and say that he definitely was, not probably. and he would have a competition on it. we've competed in everything from from ping pong to football to trivia. It doesn't matter. We just compete constantly. I think that that has a lot to do with it. A really strong curiosity, a hunger for knowledge. He is always trying to learn the game. He's gotten to the point where most of that learning comes through teaching, but there's still quite a bit of learning to be had, right? And then persistence. I mean, he just came to work every day and gave his best every day. And at the end of the day, that was supposed to be enough. And it was, you know. And a lot of people lose sight of that. You don't have to be great all at once. You have to be good consistently. And that's sort of what leads to a great career.
You know, it does add up.
Yeah.
We've got defensive coordinator Coach Ryan Fowler, former Tennessee Titan and Dallas Cowboy. Tell us about your time with the Titans, then we're going to jump in on the Raptor stuff here.
Because yeah.
We're feeding them. That's how quiet they are.
Yeah, so quiet.
It was so well-mannered over there.
I thought I heard them snoring.
No, they're not snoring. They're eating over that. That's a lot of grunting and eating, and they're having fun, though.
Definitely heard a snort.
Yep.
Let's see. So I came to Tennessee in 2007. I was an unrestricted free agent with the Cowboys. But because I wasn't drafted, I was effectively an unrestricted free agent, meaning that any team that signed me did not have to give up a draft pick.
Why?
So that was a good position to be in at that time because Tennessee needed a backer. And so my services were called on. I was able to win the starting job my first year, and I started the first 13 games, and then tore my shoulder completely apart and went on the injured reserve list for the last few games. Rehabbed that over the offseason and came back, started the first three games the following year, and then was replaced by Stephen Tulloch, who was an emerging talent.
He was.
And I'd like to think that I had something to do with his sort of entree into his starting position. Probably not, but we became buddies, and I cheered him on all the way along, too. It was a great time. Tennessee was a great place to be.
How tough was that transition, knowing that the clock was ticking for you? How was that mentally, physically, emotionally? I mean, how do you put a positive spin on that? Obviously, you did. And that's impressive.
Yeah, I didn't know that there was a choice. You know, I figured the circumstance was what it was, and the only thing that was going to change, the outcome would be my approach to it, my perspective. So, and that's all you can control, then that's where you spend your effort.
Not everybody take that direction. One of your former teammates, I think his name is Des Bryant. Did I say that? Did I go there? I went there, didn't I?
No, you're right. It's a hard pill to swallow, but like it's going to get stuck in your throat if you don't. So that wasn't too bad. I was able to kind of move on and put a positive spin. Like you said, I felt like I contribute in other ways, helping Tulloch continue to develop and helping in special packages and things like that.
He played well. Didn't he go to Denver?
He went to Detroit. Schwartz left. So Jim Schwartz was my defense coordinator, and he went and got the head job at Detroit and took a few of these talented guys with him, so he ended up there.
Well, tell us, and you said you love Tennessee. You've been on the staff here at Ravenwood. Tell us about your relationship that you have with Coach Daniels, and then we'll working with the players.
Yeah, so
how did you meet? That's a pretty big step. It's a big transition.
Yeah. I tell you, the way I remembered high school football is very different.
That's the way we see it.
Right. I sort of expected it to be a watered down and then sort of casual version of the football that I had been most recently used to, and it wasn't. It hasn't been. It's been more work probably than I've ever done in terms of preparing a team to play. A team that's expected to do well and a team that's in a community where there's a lot of expectations and a lot of support.
Yes.
But with that support comes even greater expectations. But the system that's there in place in terms of the administration and the parents and the booster clubs and all of that have made that real easy. And I don't mean to say that just to check that box, but they really have been great. Coach Daniels was suggested to me as a potential defensive backs coach when I was hired as a defensive coordinator by our head coach, Richie Westman, who was only there for the 1 year. And I met with Matt when he came into town. I owned a CrossFit gym at the time, and he came in and we spoke. And we hit it off, and we had sort of the same philosophy on defense. And so it was very easy. I recommended that we do hire him. We did. And he and I had a good partnership on defense going. Of course, our head coach left. He and I were both interviewing for the head job. And the better man won. And thank God he won, because I don't know how I could handle any more responsibility. And he's just good at that. He's just really good at being a people-facing type of guy. And he says the right things. He plays the part well, and he knows football. And he knows these kids, too. You know, he's a psychology teacher. And he understands that part of the game, too, which is really important to me and I think to the kids, even though they probably don't realize it yet.
Terry, you got a question? I know you got some out there hogging the mic here. I apologize.
We have to share it. I was going to ask you this, kind of piggyback on what Tommy asked you. What was your biggest transition you had to make when you got into high school coaching after being a player for so long?
Parents watching.
I'm sorry.
There's an unspoken but understood sort of subculture in the football world that doesn't probably pass the test of, or what you would call it, modern society. In other words, if most people could see what we do and what we say and how we act and all that, I think they'd be appalled. And so when you're doing all of that practicing and coaching and instructing and yelling and screaming with a wall that see-through as opposed to ones that people can't get on the other side of, you got to turn it back a little bit. At least keep in mind at all times that people are watching.
You're talking about a politically correct environment.
Yes, I'm talking about a non-barbaric approach to language and volume and things like that. Yeah.
Good luck to you.
Yeah.
I'm laughing only because, like I said, I don't coach anymore for that one reason.
Yeah, I'm surprised I still have my voice on a Thursday, but they've been pretty good this week, so.
That sounds good. Terry, I know you got some more questions. I've got several myself.
Yeah, we're talking with Ryan Fowler. He's a defensive coordinator storm at Ravenwood. Big battle of the woods tomorrow night. Ravenwood-Brentwood for sole possession of first place in Region 6A. Coach, you're over the defense now. Tell us a little bit about the defense, and what was the greatest challenge in your view with this defense? Let me go back. When we talked to Coach Daniels back in the summer, one thing he had a big concern about on defense, the defensive side, was the secondary. Tell us how you feel that that's developed, and would you agree with that assessment? And it seems like maybe he felt better at that time with the front four, front seven.
Yep, that was our concern going into the offseason. Certainly, we lost almost every defensive starter. No. I think Brandon Carver, Brian Rice, and Luke, who was in some games he was penciled in as a starter, and others he wasn't. That's about it. And Brandon is our only senior starter now. Drake and Brandon, I guess. And so when we lost the senior leadership and experience of the four guys that we had last year, Cole Carto, who's as smart as they come, and could really, he could really be an extension of a coach on the field, and in most cases, better.
He was very intuitive.
Yeah.
He was fun to watch. He looked like he knew what they were going to do before they knew what they were going to do.
He absolutely did.
And he was always at the right place. I kept thinking, he intercepted that. He just was there.
Yep. We take a lot of pride in preparation. And for all that we put into it, most guys don't retain all of it. I mean, there's just a ton of information. And Cole is the type that you could tell him once or twice, hey, on third down in this personnel package, on this part of the field, they're about 75% pass. And the passes that they like, and he just knew it.
Yeah.
And he would internalize it, and then you would see it show up on the game. And he was just one of the four. And, Seth Erickson was back there, and he was another guy that had a lot of experience playing and very savvy, pretty heady player. And then two corners who were very good athletes, and one that had started the year before as well. So we had experience, we had intelligence, we had leadership. And so the concern wasn't because of the new personnel.
Right.
The concern was we were losing a really good thing, and who knew what that was going to take to replace. Not to mention, Matt had to go and help the offensive side of the ball. And once Coach Tigard left, and that was a huge loss, someone had to take over the offense. So we decided he was going to do that, but we'd need to find a DB coach. Last year he tried to do both. He was the head coach and the DB coach, but he didn't have to deal with the offensive side of the ball. So we hired a guy who has been an assistant with us for a while, never played football before. He was a golfer at Belmont. He's a sports science guy. So he's just finished his master's program in sports science, and he's a really smart guy. He gets things very quickly. So within last year alone, he was all the way up to speed on our philosophy and how to coach it and techniques and all of that. So he took over coaching DB, season has done a great job. And there's really no more concern. I mean, the concerns that we had early in the summer have been allayed, and even maybe we've all been pleasantly surprised there at the outcome. Both of our corners have become very physical. We still got to keep them from taking the bait sometimes, but they matured very quickly. And then Ben Severance, who's just a little guy we'd never seen before, didn't play football at Ravenwood at all yet, came out his sophomore year, and he was just a natural right away. He's a young kid. He's got a long way to go still, but we're really happy to have him. And then Jordan Smith is...
What a nice transition. Last year, he comes in as a sophomore, sat right over there, ate barbecue, and he's got big horn-rimmed glasses, mm-hmm. and hair was going everywhere. He said, couldn't get a word out of him. Just kept eating, you know. He had power of pork size, and one night he ran 248 yards. The next thing I looked up, a nice playing safety, and he de-cleaked about four players overnight, and I was going, good Lord, I mean, don't call the ambulance there. It's only the first quarter. He's a rugby nut when he plays. I think I summed it up real well.
That's it. You got it. That's it. He's also probably, arguably, one of the most intelligent guys.
Yeah.
And I made the argument today that he might be the most well-adjusted, too. You don't normally see very good football players, very good at anything, right? Anybody who's an elite at anything tends to be obsessive, a bit over the top, or something quirky about it. Jordan just is just easy. He just gets it. He's easy. And he's one of the best athletes I've seen at this level.
Let me compliment real quick. Sure. When y'all had the scrimmage with B.A., he was not suited out. He's still coming off shoulder scenario. He was out there with the equipment, the guy, pulling the equipment out, rolling out the little thing, the grass protector. He was help setting up the kicker stand. I'm going, are you kidding? That spoke volume to me. He was just excited to help. And
that's not unique to him.
I thought, what a teammate.
William Bain was the starting running back for us. Going into the Centennial game, we got off the bus. He was still the starting running back. Sometime between getting off the bus and the opening kickoff, he was not our starting running back anymore. Found out that he had a fractured leg and never even really, I mean, barely mentioned it. But it got to the point where he couldn't even hardly walk, and so we had to make that adjustment. He spent all of last year doing exactly what you're talking about Jordan doing, because he had essentially a broken back.
Right.
And you'd never know that he ever played football for us. You thought he was the team manager or something, right? So that's not unique. I think that's a culture that Matt has done a really good job of fostering, but, you know, credit to the kids and the parents, they have the right character to be able to take it.
Doesn't that just fuel the best chemistry that you could possibly, I mean, because when Terry was good, I was one of those that coach used to roll his eyes and say, golf season will be here any minute now, just go sit down, go hurt yourself. But the coaching philosophy is so much different now than even when you were younger. How have you adapted, and two, how do you use that with these young men now?
Well, I think one of the things is that sports has become this training ground for life and not just for the sport. And I think that became a popular sentiment sometime after I was done playing high school football. Mm-hmm. But certainly with these guys, you know, football is sort of central, but all the things that are on the periphery, you know, leadership meetings and leadership councils and community service and, you know, all of those kinds of things, football programs anymore, especially at this level and in a community like ours, are year-round groups of guys that are developing their physical, certainly their physical talents, but maybe as much their character and their leadership qualities. That's one of the big differences. The other big difference is technology. The fact that we have access to game film, sometimes from multiple angles, and technology software platforms like Huddle, where you can run statistics reports just at the click of a button. The transparency is so high now that you can't walk into a game. You don't walk into a game anymore going, geez, I wonder what they're going to do, right? What they're going to look like. And you know what they're going to do. They know what you're going to do. There are no secrets. That just makes preparation that much more important and that much more difficult, because you have to kind of play a chess match. They know what you're going to do. You know what they're going to do. Who's going to change?
Sounds good. Let's do this. Terry, we need to take just a one-minute break. Let's take a quick one-minute break. We'll come back on the other side with Coach Fowler and the Raptors. They're quiet, Terry. They had some barbecue. They didn't get any banana pudding. Get them some banana pudding. We're going to get them fixed up here. But let's do this. Keelan, we need to take quick 2 minutes. Let's take 2 minutes. This is Coach's Corner here on AM 950.
Hey, want to make a good call when it comes to choosing a flooring company? We'll do what our sportscaster Stormy Mitchell did and call on the folks at Floors on Mallory Lane.
Every square inch of my flooring in my home has been redone by the great team over at Floors, whether it's the hardwood, whether it's the tile, whether it's the luxurious carpet that my kids come over and actually just go barefoot just to walk upstairs. They love it so much. 771-7669 is the number. If you don't call them, you're going to make a mistake. They're number one for a reason. Give them a call.
Matthews Team Sports is your full-service team sporting goods dealer. Online stores, in-house screen printing, top brands such as Adidas, Under Armour, and Gatorade. We handle teams from middle schools to universities and everything in between. Visit us at MatthewsTeamSports.com. Locally owned and operated, on-time delivery, and customer satisfaction are our top priority. Any sport, any season, any equipment, or any apparel need. Our team is ready to serve your team. Contact us now at MatthewsTeamSports.com.
Hey, this is Stormy Mitchell, and I want to cordially invite you to the church at West Franklin. You'll be greeted with a warm smile, firm handshake, some of the best coffee in town, excellent music, and some of the finest preaching this side of heaven. The church is located at 700 New Highway 96 West. If you can't make it, tune in to WAKM on Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. and listen to the church service. The preaching will be done by Dr. Matt Pearson from the church at West Franklin.
When you need plumbing and electric supplies, you need the convenience and service you find at Discount Plumbing and Electric. Service begins with knowledgeable, friendly folks like the people at Discount Plumbing and Electric. You'll go from a novice to having the confidence of a pro when you visit Discount Plumbing and Electric. And don't forget about their lighting showroom, where you'll find a beautiful assortment of ceiling fixtures, ceiling fans, and light fixtures. Discount Plumbing and Electric, 101 Century Court in Franklin, and in North Columbia on the Nashville Highway. See Discount Plumbing and Electric.
And we are back. This is Stormy Mitchell along with Terry Merrill. We are at Stroud's Barbecue. Terry, you and I have had to wait. I've been here since 4 o'clock. I don't get to eat till 7. That is torture in itself.
7 is closer than it was, though, Stormy, and hopefully we'll have something left for you and I after the Ravenwood Pearson foursome here.
Well, we have
to clean out the kitchen back there.
Yeah, we got Coach Fowler. He's coming back. He got reloaded on a drink. We're going to get him. He's going to place his order. We're going to let him go ahead and enjoy the food while it's hot. Can a couple of y'all jump back up in here? Terry, we got questions for these young men. And when we hand you the mic, just identify yourself again for your listeners. That way they know your voices. Let's talk with Luke on this end. Tell us about your position, Coach. What you gleaned most this year? Who's your position coach, and what did you glean most from him? Your name is?
Luke Schaus.
Just making sure. There you go.
And my position coach is Coach Elrod, Andy Elrod.
Wait a minute. He's the athletic director. He's the ball's extraordinary. I have to bow down to him every time we come over. Yes.
He's just such a smart guy. Just learning the different reads and like where I'm supposed to be on different plays and everything like that from him and from Coach Fowler is just nice. I think our defense is ahead of most high school defense on knowing, you know, just football, the in and outs of it.
Oh, I've watched y'all play. I've got nothing on me. What's one thing that he says that you can repeat on the air that it's almost funny? It's comical sometimes. Remember, it's a PG-rated show. Pressure's on. Everybody's got to come up with one.
Ooh,
well, just like, maybe not have to be funny. Just something that he says, maybe that impacts you.
I mean, most of the time what I hear in Reagan knows, just squeeze. You got to squeeze the down block.
Okay, and explain that to our, let's say, to some of the female listeners. They're thinking, don't squeeze the Charmin. What are you talking about?
So it's when the tackle, he'll down block or try to make his way up to a linebacker, and you're supposed to stay in his hip pocket. And most of the time, whenever the tackle down blocks like that, a puller's coming to try and kick you out. And part of squeezing is getting inside of that puller, too. And he says that probably 50 times a week.
There you go. I hate pulling guards. I remember those days real well. I still have nightmares at my advanced age. Not fun. Right. That's good. Pass it on that way. Tell me about your coach.
I'm William. My position coach is Coach Jordan. He has, as from a running back standpoint, each week we have, a lot of installs. And he's very good about, getting the point across and making sure we know what to do and we're prepared for game day. He has a big love for the game, and, he's fun to be around. He's a great guy.
All right. What's one thing that you've gleaned from him that you would not have gleaned had you not been playing football?
The thing I learned from him is just be patient. Like, I've never been taught to just, be very patient. I've always just been, a fast runner, and he's kind of helped me, slow down and make the right reads, and that's helped me, make the cuts I make and get open and get in the field.
I think in the BA scrimmage, you read your blocks well that day. You were patient. The hardest thing, we're getting disagreements in the background, some of it. but that's one thing that we noticed and that I always point out, Terry, that's one thing that we always keyed on, is if a running back is patient following his blockers, just because you're faster than everybody doesn't mean you're going to outrun him.
Yes, sir.
You'll outrun him when the guy in front of you knocks him on his,
yes, sir,
on his backside. I almost said something else. Oh,
But that being patient is important. Is there something funny you can tell us about your coach that PG rated?
So he has two tattoos on his calf that are supposed to be J's, but they are definitely H's.
Oh, they are. I mean... Oh, I love it when we get to Terry. Don't you love it when there are H's?
Definitely. Check them out. They're not J's. He says they're J's, but they're definitely not.
I guess the tattooist had a Snickers moment. Terry, the things we find out if that's around. I don't know how to respond past that. Give the listeners your name again so they'll know your voice.
Same question here, Stormy Reagan Carlson.
Yeah, our O-line coach is Coach Matt Mercy, and he's a great guy. He really prepares us every week for the next team, and he watches their film probably more than some of the other coaches, not putting any dirt on them, but he watches the film, and he breaks it down, and he really does everything he can to make sure we're prepared for their defense.
How much is trust a factor in the offensive line? How much is trust a factor?
Oh, it's a big factor in the offensive line because we do a lot of, you know, we leave a lot of guys for the guy behind us to come up and pick up. We do a lot of outside zone stuff too, and so we need to make sure we have trust with one another that they can get the guy that's on us, you know, and, you know, we need to all be able to move as one unit to get the guys so our running back here like Bain and Tony can, you know, get up the field and get the yards that we need to go score. So it is a very big thing.
Sounds good. Pass the mic. And question again, you give the name again. For those
Drake Anthony.
All right.
That's our linebacker. My coach is Ryan Fowler, and it's fun.
Who's listening? He's right behind you.
Yeah, it's fun because we get to hear the defensive install just straight from the mouth, and it's a lot of the time over the weekend when we're watching film or on Monday afternoons when we're just sitting and watching film from the Friday before or watching upcoming. It's fun just getting to understand the defense and what we're about to be doing and all the new stuff we're going to be doing and installing. And it's a lot of fun just getting to understand how we can go in and be relaxed and be able to joke around with each other and make fun of each other. But then when we get out on the field, we're very up pace and we're able to fly around.
Sounds good. Do you realize that you're under a very, very excellent football player? Under storied coach Marcel. I remember the days of the Titans. And unfortunately, bodies do give out. they do give out. Terry and I, we got three hip replacements between the two of us.
We completely understand because we just understand that we just have to trust him. We go in every day, and even if we don't understand what we're doing completely, we trust that he's telling us what we're supposed to do is right. And so it's just all good.
Okay, I know he's sitting there, and he's still pretty big and pretty strong. You got something funny you going to say about him?
Honestly.
Because you're protected. It's the witness protection program, which you're here. I wish you could see him squirm, boy.
Every day is a new day. And we all go in. It's defensive meetings, just depending on, not everybody's the smartest, and it really shows when we're just hanging out. And so it's fun just having Fowler be sarcastic with all of us. It's a lot of fun, and he just makes us all crack up.
Well, I tell you what, to have a coach of his stature playing and coaching has got to be quite an adventure.
Oh, it's awesome.
Terry, I've hogged the mic. I'll let you jump back in.
No problem, Stormy. Let's talk about planning your game plan each week. And anybody wants to answer this can, but what's your process on your game plan each week? When does it start? How does each day progress? I think you watch film on Monday. I could be wrong on that based on a few times I've been over there. Monday before practice, I believe. Talk about the game plan and how that progresses as you move into the week. Let's go with Reagan Carlson. He's an offensive defensive line.
He was yearning. He was grabbing the mic. He knocked two people out of the way to grab the mic.
Like I said before, we watch film every day, and every day it's just something new to learn, and we don't exactly have a set game plan on Monday. Our game plan is kind of ever-changing. If we see something different in film one day on a Wednesday, and we'll completely change our game plan if we think we can exploit that and use it to our advantage on both sides of the ball. So our game, we're always able to do stuff on the fly. We're really good with that. That's why at halftime in these games that we've had, we're always able to come back, and we're really good with making changes on the fly, especially with Coach Fowler here. So
well, how difficult is that? I mean, because, you know, I'm thinking back
too. I don't know about you. our game plan was pretty simple back those many decades ago. How difficult is that to adapt and accept and then implement?
I've never had much trouble with this, and I'm pretty sure everyone else hasn't either, because we trust what our coaches are telling us, and if we trust our coaches and trust the guy next to us that they're going to do their job, there's no big deal about it. We just do what we have to do, and we go win football games.
Well, let's talk about Brentwood then. With that in mind, how has the plan stayed pretty much the same since the first of the week? Have y'all noticed anything during the week, or is today, which is Thursday, pretty much what y'all thought about doing at the beginning of the week? And
it's been the same pretty much all week this week. We're just going over everything we can and trying to see what we can get, and we're going to run the ball down their throats and all that fun stuff. So yeah,
that was Coach Ron Crawford just pulled up in the parking lot. No, I'm kidding. No, I made you look. just seeing Terry.
Turned around to look. And
they sure did. We got them all.
What do you think is going to be important tomorrow night from an offensive perspective? And these guys are on defense. Just take it one at a time. You obviously got to minimize turnovers. That's what all coaches say. You want to take advantage of any opportunities you get from the other team. But what will be important to y'all to move? Because y'all have been in four barn burners at least this year, all the way down into late in the fourth quarter. I would assume you don't want that to happen tomorrow night. But if it does, how are you going to be ready for that?
Just keep the game up tempo, and we need to make sure we keep a level head, because we got some hotheads on the offensive side of the ball, and so we really just need to make sure that we're able to keep a level head and just keep our game of football.
Who stands out for you for Brentwood? I mean, I know who I've watched him play, but who really jumps out at you offensively or defensively? Yeah.
I'd say Tank Starr. He's a very big man, and he's gonna be hard to box. So
he is a stout individual. Who has drawn his assignment?
He actually plays both sides, both left and right side, so it's up to our tackles to be able to handle that as best they can. And obviously our guards, me and Gabe Spleenhoff, are going to have to help out as much as we can, because he's a, like William said, he's a big man. So
Gabe's been playing since he was a freshman, has he not?
Yes, he has.
How's it nice having him on your hip pocket?
Oh, it's great. He knows what he's doing, and he's not afraid to get down and dirty with cut blocks and all that stuff, so it's great. And he pulls with me sometimes, and we'll go out there and go hit some guys. So it's a good time.
Terry, I know you got some more good questions.
Three seniors on offense, seven juniors, and one sophomore.
That's a pretty good guy. Don't you like that balance?
It's pretty much same story on defense as well. Two seniors, seven juniors, and two sophomores, according to the depth chart we have that we were given this past week or so. What's it like when you're a young player coming along with the veterans, and you all are far enough along where you can say, well, somebody along the way when I was a freshman or sophomore, I looked up to. What's that like, and who can you think of that may have helped you along the way? And this will be none other than Drake Anthony.
For me, honestly, really just a lot of the seniors last year. I really can't pick a certain person. Cole Carto,
that was my
first big person that mentored me, because I was a safety until spring of last year. And so I was always with him, and he was always helping me along. And so once I got to a point where I understood a lot of what we were doing and I started getting bigger, I moved to linebacker, and it just all started falling in place for me there. It's really helped me a lot, though. He was very helpful, very kind guy. It was great having him as a friend.
Pat, pass it on down. Everybody give an answer to that one.
For me, I looked up a lot to Patrick Lighton, playing at Duke right now. Him and I, when I was a sophomore, I was playing defensive end a lot more sophomore year, and I would always go against Patrick, and we would go at each other 100% all the time in practice, and I really looked up to him because he was a great leader, and I just really looked up to him because he never stopped playing hard. So
sounds good. Bill, please.
I really looked up to Carter Nelson. He graduated about 2 years ago. He played offense and defense, and he was also a very big man, and he was very nice. He's a very nice guy and really kind-hearted, and I really looked up to him.
Yeah, funny. What stands out, they're talking about nice people, Terry. I don't remember anybody being nice when I was football team years ago. Go ahead, Luke. That's great. That's great, though.
For me, it was Ramez Ibrahim, our corner last year.
Yeah.
He's just such a fun-loving guy. He's always there. He's a good teammate. He really helped me get acclimated, into the program and get to know him and some of the other seniors better. And that just helped, be able to fit in with the team and keep everything the same and keep the culture going. So for me, it was definitely
very good. Keep the mic. Give me your thoughts on tomorrow night's game. What are you most looking forward to tomorrow night?
I want to go ahead and get that win and then try to lock up that region championship. If we win tomorrow, we still have two other region games left for sure. We definitely got to stay focused on those, but I think we'll set ourselves up really good if we can go get the win tomorrow night.
Okay, very good, William.
I think the energy is going to be something. It's going to be really special tomorrow, and I think we just got to go out there and execute and do our jobs and go out there and get this team win.
How close are you getting back now?
I should be back in about 2 weeks.
Very good.
So it's homecoming?
Yeah, that'll be good timing.
To me, the most exciting thing is going to be the atmosphere. For the seniors, it's our first home Battle of the Woods, and I'm really excited to see what we can do here at home and hopefully protect our home field and get the spot for first in the region.
Before you pass, Mike, how much fun was it winning last year at Brentwood?
Oh, last year was, I don't think I've ever been more excited after a football game. It was crazy. I remember because I was on that field goal block where Darius Harper returned it all the way, and I saw...
Who tipped it?
Anthony McCarthy tipped that ball straight to Darius.
He tipped it 41. Okay.
And I saw Darius get it, and I just saw him sprint, and I just remember being so excited seeing that, and so it was...
Oof. I was on the call. I remember it well.
Honestly, I'm like Reagan. I'm excited just for the whole atmosphere, and it's fun talking to all my friends and everybody that doesn't play throughout the week and how excited they are, even if they're not a football person. They're excited to be at the game and just go see everybody play and just the atmosphere because my family's excited. Everybody's excited. Everyone's going to be there in town. It's just so fun and so electric for both sides. It's just so exciting. Everybody just loves it. It's such a great rivalry.
I can speak for the sports director emeritus who has the mic over there and myself. We get jacked up too for the ball game. We really do. It's hard. It's getting home at night after these games and it's 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning.
But with all this tension, Winston County every Friday night is a big game for us.
It's playoff atmosphere.
But what I wanted to ask Tommy is, and I'll start with Reagan, and you all don't have to chime in. But your first three games this season were all on the road. Is that a big deal one way or the other? I know you got to play the game, but you got through those, and now the schedule sets up well. But is that something you talked about with the coaches and so forth when you started that what seemed like a long 3 weeks for a three-game road trip?
It was definitely our goal to go 3-0 in that three-game road trip because if we felt like we could go through those hostile atmospheres, we were, expected to win them all. If we could get through them and, get through them, no matter how we won it, we were able to get through it all. And I think it was really important for us to get that because I feel now, like no matter what situation we get ourselves into, that we're going to be able to pull something out and win the game.
And now you got four games in a row at home, and this will be the second one this week. And then, is that right? Yeah. Then Ryan and Father Ryan in Dixon County. But Stormy, this team, if you look at it, and you talked about this earlier, 21 unanswered points against Centennial to open it up. Five lead changes in the Siegel game, and down to the final run at Franklin with 4 minutes to go, you finally split it over. Did you all develop a certain mentality with this type of attitude that, well, we may be behind, no matter what it takes, we're going to come back and do what we have to do? I would think that has to bode well for the rest of the schedule and into the playoffs. And the second part of the question is, it's a long question. Last year, so close, losing to Cane Ridge in the quarterfinals, who knows, you might have been in Cookeville. Is that something that has motivated y'all all year long, knowing you want to get back, and you came so close last year?
It has definitely motivated us because we saw those seniors after that game, just seeing them having their season end like that when they were so close to getting to Cookeville and playing for the state championship. It made us realize how we don't want to go home like that. We want to go all the way and, go to Cookeville and win state. So it's really shaken us and really made us focus in on the now.
It brings reality to life.
That's right.
And we I remember getting the text of the Skullberg, and they said, Ray was up 18-12, and there's 2 minutes left, and they're kicking off. Okay.
It never amazes me, as long as we've been doing this, whether it's players or coaches.
10 years we've been here doing this.
The ones that they remember the most, it seems like, are the ones that got away or the one where they just didn't quite make it over the hump. Not all the close victories, not all the playoff wins and all that. It's the ones that, for whatever reason, they didn't quite pull it off. And that's life, right? You could apply that to anything.
17-year-old city junior golf.
So close.
don't go there. I'll throw up tonight. Think about it.
But there's something to be said, I think, for a team like this team that they've been to the playoff wars. They came up watching senior Letterman do the same thing. And it's sort of a culture, I think, as you said a while ago. So they know what it takes to get there again. And there's something to be said for that, right?
Oh yeah. Getting to the playoffs is a great experience for us. It really taught us last year, like, how hostile some environments can be and how much energy you get from these games. And it's really taught us how to handle it all, because in football, you can get sucked up into the atmosphere so quickly and just kind of lose your head. So it's really helped us coming there.
And everybody tells you how good you are, and all of a sudden, you're back down to earth real quick, right? Don't we seen that too?
Yes. All right, well, I'll tell you what, fellas. First of all, here, I don't think I've every week we have fun, but this has been extra fun. Because, I mean, they loaded the deck on us today. There's no doubt about it.
So, I mean, if we've got Ravenwood listeners to this joint, it's been Drake Anthony, Will Bain, also Reagan Carlson, and Luke Schaus. Hey, Ramon, right? And I got that right? See, I'm 1 for 4. Schaus, is that right, Luke? Okay. We appreciate y'all being with us tonight. Congratulations on a great season so far, and can keep up the good work. And I know y'all want to get all, it's one game at a time, though, right? But it's certainly a big game tomorrow night, because sole possession first place is on the line, Stormy. That's the bottom line with this football game tomorrow.
I tell you one quick. Well, there any big? We don't have any fans there tomorrow night. I mean, usually it's nice, quiet. You can hear yourself thinking. Is that what it's going to be tomorrow night?
No, the student section is going to be there at 5 tomorrow. They're going to get ready for a game day, WCS game day, and it's going to be electric.
Now, along that line, Stormy, what's going on at school tomorrow? Is there a pep rally? I mean, you guys may as well not even open a book tomorrow. You're not going to be able to concentrate.
No, don't start that. Wait a minute. Who's got a test tomorrow?
Hopefully nobody.
Anybody have a test?
Oh, I think I might.
Wait a minute. You think you might?
That's the wrong
answer.
Focusing on apples.
Seriously, what will tomorrow be like? Is there anything special going on? Do y'all do pep rallies and so forth?
We have a pep rally at the end of the day, and it's really just, more than anything, is just to continue over the effect of getting excited for the game till after the school, and carry it over for the next 5 hours till game time, and it's going to be so fun.
Well, speaking of that, after that, and when school's out, now it's a long waiting time from 3 o'clock till whenever you get ready to go out for warm-ups. How do y'all kill time during that time? Coach, you're waving me off on that. Okay. In other words, you're jacked up, and then you got to wait.
Thank you.
So everybody's still at school, right? Until the game. Okay. Well, what's that like, that long wait?
It honestly, Reagan and I have actually talked about it a lot, how sometimes we don't actually wish it, but we talk about how we wish during that wait we could just play the game right then and there.
Yes.
Because it starts to build and your mind starts to go everywhere else. And so at the time, my friend Michael Ayala and I, we go and we get in a dark room and we just lie down and close our eyes. It's just a good time just to decentralize and be focused.
Coach, is there any way to show them a movie during that time, maybe? Have you ever done that?
We have tried that. So the last 2 years ago against Brentwood, right? We had to come back in on a Saturday and play the game, the second half of the game, and we showed them a movie then. Guys that have energy and are talkative are going to find a way to have energy and be talkative, and guys who are intelligent find a dark room and lay down. I say that in jest, but that, honestly, there's so much adrenaline that gets dumped into their system during the pep rally and after school and with their buddies, that if they don't take that nap or take some time to rest, they're drained by the time the game comes.
So in your opinion, that seems to work best in your experience. Is that what you prefer then?
I personally don't. I don't like to any excitement at all before about an hour before the game. And even during the warm-ups in the game, if guys want to sort of be methodical and quiet, I'm totally okay with that. Everyone approaches things differently. The one thing that bothers me a little bit is not everyone has the freedom to do what it is that they want. If a guy wants to be in peace and quiet, sometimes his teammates that are rowdy make it impossible, right? So it's good that he's able to get away and like that. But yeah, those pep rallies, boy, they are something. They're quite a show at Ravenwood. I've never been to pep rallies quite like that.
It's a great atmosphere. Of course, we love the hype of atmosphere, because we talk about playoff atmosphere every week on WA Camp, because it's the game of the week, Terry.
Shorty, you and I should maybe go. I don't think we've ever been to one of these pep rallies, so we could really be able to talk about what we're seeing there.
Well, the thing was, I would have that high, right? Because then I would come down. I would need that nap.
Well, you always take a nap before the podcast.
I do. I took a 40-minute nap today before the show. I set my watch, closed my eyes, woke up ready to rock and roll, and hey, that's how we roll.
Coach Fowler just said he could find your dark room to take a nap, so you're on campus. There you go.
Man, I snore and would wake him up. Well, Terry, let's do this. We're gonna
first of all, gentlemen, great job. They were very informative. Well done. Great young men. Very intelligent. Coach, thank you for coming over. Coach Daniels, we miss you, but hey, you were over the top well represented here by Coach Fowler and his young man. Terry, another coach's corner in the book. What a great
one in the book, Tommy. I had another question for Coach Fowler, but
we'll save it for next.
I just thought of this. You know, I'm sort of ad lib here.
We all do.
But Coach, I meant to ask you this: the quality of football in 6-6A, you know, in this area, or Middle Tennessee, however you want to say it, how does that compare to other places you've been as far as the high school level goes?
Talent-wise, it's high, probably by virtue of being 6A and being bigger schools. But there tends to be this momentum that's built in different areas around the country in high school football. And that's why you see teams that are perennial, you know, playoff teams or perennial state contenders. Seems like 90% of that for Tennessee is right around us. So it's unique in that regard. You know, I played in Florida, and there's a lot of speed, obviously. And I've lived in Dallas, and actually where I live wasn't too far from where Matt Daniels went to high school, South Lake Carroll, big powerhouse football team. So I've been around some big football. I don't know that I've seen 5,000 and 8,000 and 10,000 people show up at every home game on a regular basis for me. Now, I know I've played with guys that were from Ohio, Maslin, they had 30,000 show up to games. But for me, that was a unique thing. And probably more than that is the level of coaching. You know, there are so many ex-NFL players and coaches that are on staff just in a fairly tight circle around us. It makes me wonder, like, what is it that the area is doing to not just retain the players after they retire, but then to coax them into coming and, you know. So it's not really that big of a secret. Once you figure it out, it's the camaraderie and it's the support and it's football. It's football.
Sounds good.
All right,
Terry, we just got a doctorate day in football.
We're going from our master's to our PhD, right?
I knew I was going to get to that level. It's just it only took me 10 years. It only took me 10 years. And, of course, most people, you know, when they go to college, they stretch a four-year degree into 10. So tonight, I think that's about what we did. Any final words? We got the Battle of the Woods tomorrow night. That's all I can say.
Yep. Better get there early, Stormy.
I'll be there at 5 o'clock. I will have Marcus Stone on color. I'll be doing the play-by-play. Murphy's matchups at 6 p.m., pregame 6:30. Kickoff at 7 p.m. from the Raptors' nest, the Raptors and the Bruins. The Battle of the Woods. Keelan Fisher, great job tonight. Terry Merrill, Stormy Mitchell. All I can say is good night, everybody. Good night, and God bless.